Well, I'm continuing on the line with healing, various aspects of it. And today I want to go to Isaiah chapter 58 and look at healing, fasting, and the Sabbath together. It's another component to healing. We're going to look specifically at fasting element here. Isaiah 58, this chapter deals with fasting. And it also goes on to incorporate Sabbath. It relates to that with the fast. But in verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, and that did righteousness and forsake not the ordinance of their God. They ask me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and you take no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist the wickedness, yet you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day to for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou now call this fast an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" Let me stop here for a moment. In the beginning of this, these verses, it's the people is saying they're approaching God, they're doing things that seem to be right things, but really they're doing it for the wrong reason. You see, it's not enough just to do the right thing, but you need to do it for the right reason. And they were fasting to have some sense of, well, God, you deserve to do this for me because I'm doing that. Now, that's the very essence of works. I'm going to do something to get God to do something. You know, the essence of Christianity is God moved first. He sent his son. He provided all things for us. In seeing that, we respond to him. And our act of faith is a response to what we see him having done, doing, and intends to do. So it's a very important to understand this. We're not the initiators making God do anything. He doesn't owe you anything. So he's saying, well, you're fasting to smite with the fist of wickedness. And in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all of your labors. So they're still doing the things that they want to do, but they're doing something outwardly to saying, well, Lord, you owe us this because we're doing this outwardly. Rather than what we want to understand is that in the fast, as well as in Sabbath, there's a particular work we should be doing as unto the Lord. We're going to look at that here. So during the fast, they find their pleasure and exact their labors. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now, you can choose to fast for the benefits that would come out of it, but then there's God's chosen fast. There's times he'll initiate something like that, and there's a greater power to follow through with that when you know the Spirit of God's wanting you to do it. We then submit our will. We do it for the right reason, and we have the strength to do it. So the fast that the Lord has chosen it says to afflict our soul, or there's a self-denial in that we are humbling ourselves before the Lord, presenting ourselves to Him. And in that we are doing it, first he says, to loose the bands of wickedness. Now this corresponds with scriptures I was in, I believe I was in, it was 2 weeks ago, where the disciples of Jesus were not able to cast demons out of this boy from this man who had brought his son to the disciples. And afterwards, they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. In Mark's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, he said, because of your unbelief. Now, it's not that you have to do fasting as a work to exercise authority over the devil. Their problem was with unbelief because of the strength of that devil did not quickly let go of his hold and was throwing the boy around like into the fire to destroy him. So their eyes were seeing this, their ears were hearing this, and because of unbelief, what they saw caused them to back off rather than persevere in authority over the devil. Now, there are things that we would encounter where our faith needs to be strong, where we can override what we see or hear or feel, if that's part of the equation. In that case, is what they saw was the strength of this demon throwing this boy around. Some demons don't let up without really putting up a stronger fight. It's like that in the animal kingdom. Some animals would like surrender themselves really quick, where you have a sport called bull riding, where they have like a really wild bull, and I think they might even do some things to make the bull a little bit crazy to really challenge the rider to see how tough of a rider you are, how long can you stay on that bull. Where if you have a more passive animal, they can be broken easier. When I had horses, one of the things that I encountered being around experienced horse people was that of breaking a horse to ride it. And in their will, they would want to, a young horse now, like you might start this around a year old or so, they try to buck you off and really buck, where one who's stronger and more dominant will carry on longer and you're going to have to work with them more, where one that's more docile or passive might give up pretty quick. So, okay, you can be on my back. But you'd have to break them of that will as to who is in charge here. When, you know, we got our German Shepherd pup, this last one we got was the most dominant-willed shepherd dog we ever had. We had to work with her more firmly, more strongly to break her of that as to who is the boss here. We're the boss. Not you, little puppy dog. Some, you know, parents run into this with children where you have like a 2-year-old and they have a strong will, and you have to confront wills where you're going to show them, I'm the boss, not you, Junior. And if you let them at the age of 1 or 2 dictate that they're the boss, you're going to have rebellion problems through their whole life under their own destruction because you're not strong enough to fight to the end with them. There is an understanding we need to have when it comes to the fight to persevere unto the victory. And sometimes in situations, you don't know what to do. You're at your wit's end. Well, that's where we need to get a hold of God and find the wisdom of God and how to gain the victory in a situation. So what Jesus was saying is in the time of the fast, you completely separate yourself to seek me, to dig into my word, to hear my voice, to get the word of wisdom, the answer that you need to walk out the victory unto its completion. Now, in the case with a demon, that you will discern the work of that devil and fight through to the end. But whether it's with children, animals, or demons, the principle there is the same. Now, in the fast, what we are doing is we are separating ourselves from all other activity and influence to get a hold of God. And the most pronounced example of that is when God spoke at the baptism of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God knew Satan was going to come to try to steal that word. That word, that "this is my beloved Son," would give a confidence to Jesus to move forward in the ministry he's called to do. So Satan's going to try to steal that word and create doubt. So what the Spirit of God does is has him go into the wilderness. That means nothing's there. There's no leisure living. He didn't go down to the beach and sit in the sun. He didn't go fishing. He went to the wilderness where there was nothing to distract him, nothing to draw his attention away, and he gave 100% of his attention for 40 days of meditating the word of God and praying, so that when Satan came, he had the word in his spirit to resist the devil, to resist the temptation to sin, to resist the temptation to let go of that word from God that God had given him. You know, Jesus, the man, needed encouragement too. That word was for Jesus. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Affirmation brings a stronger confidence. So there are times, it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, tempted. It's not that God wanted him to be tempted. It's God knew he was going to be tempted. Till that time, Satan did not know Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So now all his spiritual attack is being levied at Jesus at that moment. So in the fasting, he was giving all of his attention to the thing at hand. Many people have problems they're aware of, but they'll only give a little bit of their attention. We need to have the mind to persevere to victory, and we have to give all of our attention in the fight until we get the victory. This is where many believers fall short. They want to just say a prayer, somebody else say a prayer, read one scripture. They want a little dabble, do you? And just be able to go their merry way and keep doing their pleasure and their work in life and not really set themselves. When you have a major battle, it can require completely setting yourself unto the victory. Now, whatever that battle might be, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, relational, emotional, whatever it is, we need to set ourselves to fight to win. The great complaint by our soldiers when we were in Vietnam was we weren't fighting to win. In other words, they'd fight, they'd take a hill, and then a couple of days later, they'd be told, "Okay, leave that hill where you shed blood, go over here and park yourself over here." We had the capacity, we could have destroyed North Vietnam, but we didn't do it. And there was war since then, even with the first Iraqi war, we didn't go in there and destroy them. That's where, you know, wise military people would say, What is your objective? That needs to be stated to win. You fight to win. You just don't prolong fights because politics are playing into it. So that's just another example of what I'm saying. But the great error that people make is they won't fight unto the victory. They won't fully give themselves because their life's too wrapped up in exacting their own pleasure or their own labor, just working for money or, apart from that, pursuing the pleasures of this life. So, you know, something that I'll make mention of, you know, people will take weeks for vacation, but won't spend one day prayer and fasting to seek God to get what they need from Him to fight under the victory. Well, that's why things don't change and people have the same problems until the whole way through their life or under their own death. When you learn to identify the challenge before you and completely give yourself to what it's going to take to win that battle, that's when you really will make progress spiritually. It'd be like with education. If you're going to gain education to acquire the skills to do something, you need to give yourself to it while you're in that mode, not just study half-hearted and you know, maybe make it through and get a degree or maybe drop out of college or whatever the training. You give all of yourself to that. That's where you become a person of excellence in that field. But so many, they will never do anything beyond half-heartedness. One of the things should be part of the criteria of our life is whatever I do with all of my heart is unto the Lord. Whatever you're going to do, put all of yourself into it. Employers desire this of people, someone who will work hard or give themselves, not someone who's just, well, how much do I have to do to not get fired? So it's a mindset that we learn to always give our best to whatever we're doing. Whatever we're doing. I guess it was yesterday or the day before at Bible school. There was somebody was cleaning in the building we were. And Brother Jacob saw that there was, they could use some help mopping the floor. He grabs the broom. It has like the mop, and he's like going to town with that mop. I mean, he's really. It's like I said, would you clean professionally or what? I mean, he knew what he was doing. He wasn't just like a little sweep over. I mean, he was. Well, he used to run a restaurant. And he said, I kept my floors clean. And it's like a lot of people, they go to a restaurant, they'll walk in a bathroom, and they look at the floor, and they think, well, if that's not clean, what's that kitchen look like? But he didn't have to do that. He was just pitching in to help the person that was cleaning. He saw what needed to be done, which is the heart of a servant. You see what needs to be done, jump in. But he wasn't doing it half-hearted. It's all of his effort. It's like, well, that's. So I thought, well, he must have done that professionally or something. He's like, it's in his mind, trained. Well, he was a business owner. That's even better than doing it professionally because your own reputation's at stake. Well, the principle here is when you're doing something in the Lord, do it with all of your heart. And in fasting, there is a right reason to do it. And wrong reasons. There's a right way to do it and wrong ways. And there are benefits that will come out of it. And if you can see the benefit, that could cause you to pause and consider, maybe this is something the Spirit of God would have me to do. So he mentions to loose the bands of wickedness. So in that time of separation and abiding in the Word of God, strengthening our faith in doing that and being more tuned in spiritually, we're in a better place to discern a demonic work and exercise authority and bring deliverance and healing to someone else. Well, verse 6, he goes on, loose the bands of wickedness. Let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now, a yoke would be that which would bind you, create bondage, to break the yokes of bondage. There are times we're in bondage to something and we don't realize that we are, or we don't realize what we're in bondage to, or we don't know how to break free. And that's where a word from God comes in, the word of wisdom, knowing what to do, or that right word with due power, with corresponding power that breaks that bond. And again, it's in the seeking the Lord or the fasting, the separation, that we're best positioned to hear that word from God, to know what to do, what to say, to discern what's going on. People will talk about their problems. In fact, most people want to talk about their problems. But if they knew the source of their problem, they would deal with it and get free, but they lack the understanding of what actually is binding them. In other words, they might see a manifestation, but what back here caused the problem or opened the door to the devil, or what sin began the process of something being tore down or destroyed. They don't see that, so that's where help comes into play. Now, when it comes to the issue of counseling, there's an assumption there, well, somebody who knows this problem knows what to tell you what to do. But I find in people's lives, people are so unique, you have to really closely hear them speak to hear what's behind the problem. And with that, to hear the Spirit of God who really knows what's at the source of it. Because so often what appears to be the problem is not the problem. There's something on behind that. You know, many times it's something as simple as someone's pride is the problem, but that manifests out in these other problems. So they try to address, oh, someone told me this, someone did that, cast blame here or there, when it may be they just need to humble themselves. And that's where the word of the Lord's going to bring liberty and break every yoke. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to thy hungry, to the hungry, and bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, you cover him and hide not yourself from your own flesh. Now, one could fast with the intent that that which I would have eaten, I'm going to give to those who are hungry. That we see that in the scripture. It can be a motivation there. Now, that's with the assumption you have a sort of like a limited food supply. You'll take that which you have and give to someone else. You'll deny yourself to give to someone else. Now, that's really getting into depths of love where I'm concerned about someone else. I could go without eating today where there's someone who doesn't have food, has the pains of hunger. I'll give to them. Now, that's a concept that would be rather foreign in the United States. But there are many parts of the world people struggle to have food to eat every day, where that concept would become a very, very real thing. You're going to take of that which you have, deny yourself, and feed others. We're more inclined to give out of our abundance, but not necessarily sacrificially. Now, maybe you do that, but I'm saying the inclination in this country, because there's so much abundance, is to give out of our abundance. we can tend to view hospitality that way. Well, if I have a lot left over, I'll help somebody. Where scripturally, God could have us give where it's sacrificial, give that which we don't necessarily have abundance, but we're still giving of ourselves. And that requires the love of God to do that. Now, verse 8 then begins to address some benefits. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, or being critical and judgmental for others. You can't be critical and judgmental and be praying and interceding for others at the same time. If in the time of the fast you're incorporating prayer and you're praying for the deliverance of other people and for the release of the Holy Spirit's ministry, that's an act of love. If you're doing that, then you can't be judging and criticizing. Critical spirit and judgmental is the opposite of judging yourself or allowing the Spirit of God to deal with you. It comes out of a prideful spirit that people will do that. I've known people that's their whole life. They're always looking at everyone for where they think they're wrong and where they themselves are right and you're wrong. And they'll be quick to say it and want to manipulate people through such behavior. They need to fast and pray to shake themselves from that. Well, verse 8, let me come back to this. Your light will break forth. There are many times we need an answer. What I found is, for the most part, I don't get the answers during the fast. It's after the fast, after I've sought the Lord and petitioned him, that the light begins to break forth. Many times what happens, people make a works out of this and they're like trying to hear from God. Oh, I need an answer. I'm going to try to hear from God. The fact that you're thinking about it, you don't know if it's your imagination, your mind, or Spirit of God. But just to take the time and separate and to shut yourself off from the things of the natural affairs of life that would be a distraction to your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, to shut that down, you're becoming in a position of being quiet before the Lord to hear his voice. And many times the light will spring forth after you've done that. Now, this is not like a formula here, but I'm just saying many times what I found, my own experience, it's after the fast, then the light just comes. Bing, like how you have nighttime and like in a few moments, the sun rises and light's shining. The answer's there. So again, I'm sharing wisdom here and understanding that we don't make this with fasting a dead work, because that's one of those things that it really can easily become to people, just like a dead work. Like, God, you owe me. I did a hunger strike. You owe me. Something needs to happen. And missing the whole point of shutting down and separating ourselves from that which would distract us or pull upon us or drain us down. So it's like with a car, you have the operation of it will drain the battery. So you need the alternator to recharge it. We need the recharging of our spiritual batteries to be strong. So in the fast, we set ourselves to eliminate the distraction. Now, the word fast means, literally in the Hebrew, to cover the mouth. That means nothing's going in. Nothing's going in, or you're not eating. Now, sometimes people, in their desire to sound and appear spiritual, they'll say, well, I fasted for 40 days, and all they did was skip lunch. Skipping lunch is not what the Bible talks about fasting. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let somebody pull you into that deception. The Bible, speaking of fasting, always speaks in terms of days. And you're going to shut down the intake of food. Now, what happens physically at that time, your body will purge out toxins and purge out stress hormones and such. It will purify itself and bring forth healing. If your bodily organs that work to digest food don't have to keep working to digest food, they then repair themselves and heal themselves. Now, in sleep, that's when the cellular repair is happening, or you enter into a state of rest. God had created us to rest. He created you to sleep. If you don't get any sleep, that can cause a breaking down on the cellular level. In putting a stop to the intake of food, what that does is allow your organs to heal. And you couple with that drinking a lot of water. The water flushes out the impurities. We ingest a lot of toxins, and then you have toxins release, stress hormones, and so forth, which I can't just spit out the whole scientific of it, but I've read enough to understand that's bad. And there's a need for that bodily regeneration and healing. You see, when we confess our sin, there's cleansing, the washing of the water of the word in our conscience. Our conscience is purged. Our spirit man's made clean. In that, with the body, when we discontinue eating and drink, then there's a flushing out of any poisons and toxins that are in our body. Now, when you breathe, if you stop breathing, you'll die. You take in oxygen, which is necessary for on a cellular level, and you breathe out carbon dioxide. You have to exhale and get that carbon dioxide out. The human body will take in food, extract out the nutrition, and flush the rest out in the waste of your bowel movement and your urine. When your cleansing organs don't work, you'll die. If your kidneys, your liver, they stop working, you won't live very long. I mean, seriously, you might have a day or two. If they're completely shut down, you will become poisoned. Poisoned. And God, just to study the human body is enough for anyone to get saved, because you realize the miracle of God as creator, the miracle of Him working in our body is so amazing. Now, that with the God-appointed fast, healing can spring forth, or in some cases and incidents, that's what's helpful with healing. Now, at nighttime, we don't eat, and there's what we call having breakfast, or your first meal of the day, which would have followed maybe 12 hours of night eating. You're breaking that fast, okay? That's why it's called breakfast, break fast, break the fast. If you've ever woken up and say you're maybe you notice this with your spouse, they have bad breath in the morning. That is your body excreting out toxins out through the tongue. That's why you have bad breath. Now, if you never brush your teeth, maybe there's food rotting in around your gums. But that aside, let's assume you brush your teeth. The bad breath is just in that nighttime period, your body will begin to work to excrete the toxins. So if you have terrible breath problems, and it's not gum problems, you've probably got some toxin issues. People with BO, where they sweat and there's terrible odor problems, there's toxin issues. You may not have a major health issue yet, but that is a sign that something's wrong in you. You hear me? So people will cover up with perfumes and all this stuff. This is a fragrance-free zone. Thank you. But people will cover up putting some smelly thing on themselves to cover up the body odor. When the body odor is toxins being excreted out through your sweat, through your pores, your body's trying to rid itself of that. So you know there's an issue. And, you know, whether it's your armpits, your feet, or whatever, that's, you know, people's bodies work a little differently in how they're going to do that. But the point there is toxins need to come out. And in the long term, that will hurt you health-wise. It's going to cause a breakdown. Fasting cleanses or rids of that. Now, someone could fast because they want to lose weight or something like that. But the purification, the God-chosen fast, spiritual, we need to incorporate the spiritual with the natural, where we're going to separate ourselves from everything we're inputting with this world and be quiet before the Lord, worship Him, meditate on the truth. Now, we want to have a daily time of sleep and whatever you need, 8 hours, 6 hours, what have you. Depends on the length of your sleep cycle. If you have four sleep cycles and your sleep cycle's 90 minutes, as mine is, well, then 6 hours will do you. If your sleep cycle's 2 hours, well, you'll need 8 hours. If your sleep cycle's 2 hours and 15 minutes, well, you'll need 9 hours. You need to find what works for you. If you just look at the clock when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can determine the length of your sleep cycle. If you're eating a lot of food before you go to sleep, your sleep cycles may be interrupted. So God has a body rhythm for people, and it's generally wise to not eat maybe a good 4 hours before you're going to sleep. I know a lot of people, their habits to have a bowl of ice cream before they go to bed, and maybe the calcium in it's a little bit helpful, but that sugar going in and laying down might interrupt your sleep. So we need to walk in wisdom concerning these things, where we actually enter a state of rest. Rest is a spiritual thing as well as a natural thing. In it, healing is being released and operated upon. Now, I want to bring forth a little bit of wisdom to you real quick relative to the fast, and that is what you eat when you come off the fast is what you'll tend to crave. And if you fast for very long, especially 21 days, you can literally change your taste buds. So if you fast, you want to eat something that's easily digested. You don't fast and do as I did the first time I did a 3-day fast and go to a Mexican restaurant and eat something that would normally cause great indigestion on a good day. And you're ready to blow your bowels out and say, what's going on here? No, you eat fruit, something easily digestible, not meat. You might drink some juice and so forth. And the longer you fast, the more you have to ease back into it. The hardest times when you say, now I'm going to release myself to eat again, that you don't just eat everything in sight. You have to be very, very self-controlled and disciplined. Now, coming back here to these scriptures, verse 11 says, the Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, make fat your bones. You'll be like a water garden and a spring of water whose waters fail not. Down at verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, or speaking your own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, or you're finding your pleasure in the Lord, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high place of the earth, or in victory over every enemy, circumstance, problem, need, and so forth. But he's saying here with the Sabbath, he's linking that here. The Sabbath was the wisdom of God where we rest 1 in 7 days. And he says, now you don't take that pursuing your own pleasure or pursuing work, making money, but you have a day of rest. Now, there were a number of times Jesus healed on the Sabbath. The Pharisees sought to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. And what Jesus showed them was that love trumps just keeping Sabbath. That Sabbath for you, he says, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He didn't make that a legalism we have to do, like legalistically, but it's the wisdom of God. If you want to be in health, God ordained for you to have a time of rest, and in that rest, seeking him and having spiritual refreshing. And he had ordained it to be a day in seven. Nowadays, people view day off's my day for my pleasure. Maybe I'll give God an hour, but the rest of it's all for my pleasure, and are completely void of the wisdom of God, and it leads to a breaking down. But God in his wisdom saying you need sleep every night. There are times ordained to fast, and there is the ordaining of the day and the week where it's just refreshing in spirit through worship and the meditation and hearing and reading of the Word of God and the fellowship one with another, where there is a spiritual refreshing, entering into his rest in spirit. Now, if you remember some weeks ago, I quoted there from Proverbs 4 that that the Word of God gives life to our spirit man, and out of it are the issues of life, or life flows out to the whole perimeters and parameters of our life, which would include your physical body. Yes. It begins in spirit. So if you're not at peace, having time, I believe daily meditating in on the things of God, even at the end of your fast, the nighttime, you're not eating. The end of that fast, when you would wake in the morning, to me this is ideal, it's the way I like to operate, to lay and be still, know that he is God, meditate in that, and then you go forth, you know, pray, and begin your day strong in the Lord. So there's times where there's a day and a week, there's times ordained to fast and pray. There's just the daily times as well. And we should seek out the balance of these things whereby we are strong and we are being purged of any thoughts that would contaminate our mind, anything in spirit, and the cleansing in our body as well of toxins and poisons and everything else, the cleansing of our body as well. So it all works together.